Calling the meeting to order at precisely 11 a.m.
Okay, item number two is a monthly summary of commission activities.
Oh, well, seeing that Michelle's not here, Norma, would you like to help us with this?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. So it's been a very busy month, but just to give you some highlights, the commission staff have completed their listening sessions at Marina High School and Seagerstrom High School, and now we're working with both high schools to do a joint dialogue. We haven't set a date yet. It's going to be till January because of the holiday break, and there's a lot of activities with the schools. But we're going to have approximately 30 students, so 15 students from Seagerstrom, 15 students from Marina High School, to discuss the football game incident with the posters, and then hopefully speak about, you know, how it is that they might want to move forward to build bridges and mend some of those, the harm that might have caused, those posters might have caused to the Seagerstrom students and families. So, like I said, we don't have a date yet, but as soon as I know, I imagine either the chair or the vice chair would like to observe. So if anybody else, then I'll send out the dates. I have another update. I think I could just share it here, but before the Thanksgiving break, the commission staff were able to facilitate a dialogue for an interfaith group. And the topic of discussion was the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And it was really more about sharing stories and experiences, how it might affect them, their community. And it was amazing. The staff were incredible in managing and navigating the dialogues. The event was put on by the OC Interfaith Network, and it was five other organizations, and we came in to do the facilitated piece, and we had about 20 interfaith leaders who participated. So it looks like the organizers are looking to do more of these dialogues, and they really liked the format that our staff brought to the table. It really eased and released, diffused some of the tensions that might have kind of come up. So they really liked the way that we facilitated that, and they might be looking for us to assist in facilitating some other dialogues on other issues in Orange County.
May I comment on that?
Yes.
I was not there, but I heard it was very well received, and the speakers were exceptional. Somebody did tell me, though, Norman, I'm not there, so I'm asking, that it was a little bit preaching to the choir. Like, in other words, people who already have the open mind were the ones who were there. And so an interesting question, if we do this again, is how to get people who aren't our usual suspects to attend and be there. So I don't know if my premise is right, but if it's not, if it is right, then it would be interesting to explore how we might get different voices that don't usually come to these things to attend these kind of programs.
And just to clarify, the commission staff were not part of the planning. We were just called to facilitate the dialogue.
No,
but they are collecting feedback, so I can always provide that feedback back to the planning committee who put the event together. But, yeah. That's pretty much
Can I make a comment on that as well?
Yes.
Thank you, Norma. I was there at that thing that was facilitated at St. Mark's Church in Newport Beach. I thought it went very well. Obviously, it's a hard subject to speak. In the group that I was sitting, Rabbi Peter Levy was there, Mike Penn of Orange County Human, OCIN, Interfaith Network, and there was a chairman or the past chairman, Hidab from Islamic Center of Southern California, and a couple of other people in the group, and she is a Palestinian who was in encampment and all that, so she experienced what it was to live through that as a young teenager. So she, this is the first time I've heard something like that.
Powerful.
And there were very powerful stories that were shared. So this doesn't necessarily happen at other times when we socially meet or otherwise. So I think this is a good starting to the point of Rabbi Steinberg. You're right, you know, it's mostly preaching to the choir, but sometimes even the choir needs to hear little different sounds, right? So that's kind of a thing, but I think we can change it up, yeah.
Okay, next is open forum, and I do have one request to speak for David Duran.
Mr. Duran, it's good to see you again.
Good morning, good morning. Good morning, and I'd like to first start off by giving a thank you to Maureen Dadaboy for Human Relations, for coming to Housing as a Human Right, Orange County, and giving a great presentation on how we can better report acts of crime to the county and things of that sort. And upcoming, we also, along with Poor People's Campaign, are happy to and looking forward to having Joyce Sanchez come and give a presentation, kind of a part two continuation. It's been very valuable, and as a result, I know that HHRLC, Housing as a Human Right Orange County, is going to move forward to kind of create our own document so that we'll be able to go ahead and gather our own report to go ahead and maybe help to feed this. Which brings me to my second subject, which is the homeless shelters and the lack of public oversight. Several of us have tried. We can't get in. The complaints that we're getting from the individuals who are being exited, and I'm going to use the word unlawfully many times, the stories are horrendous. And yet there is no advocacy, if you will, within, because the shelters are not set up to really take care of everybody's needs or hear everybody's complaints, or they're just providing a bed or a mat or a cot. And many times food is even substantially insufficient and or horrific. So I'm asking to give some consideration to making recommendations that every shelter in this county have some sort of reporting system for the residents that is objective, that's non-bias, or have some public oversight to make sure that those people are being taken care of on, you know, the way they should be. And lastly, I passed out some papers for everyone regarding The Longest Night, which is upcoming December 21st. We ask that you maybe give some consideration to attending. It is really well received and is sponsored by many groups, and it's to commemorate those who have died while living on the streets. This year it's about 207. But again, that number is not accurate because many are not reported because. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, Mr. Duran, there's a question for you.
Yes.
Your proposal, in your proposal, who do you recommend that the advocates support to? Are you implying that they should report to the Human Relations Commission?
I think it's a really good question because there is no entity established at this point in time.
Right.
So I'm looking at kind of a role model for assisted living, for example, which falls, I think, under Title 22 or 24, something like that. And the residents have a voice. They have what's called a residence council. Mm-hmm. That residence council is can meet monthly. They air their views about how management's taking care of them, things of that sort. There's an ombudsman that gets involved, and so the residents have a voice. Well, that type of process is not established in any of the shelters. And we know that people who are living in shelters, we know that that's not just a temporary situation at this point in time. The gentleman yesterday has been in one shelter in Bridges for 2 years, 6 months, and now 8 days. So, but again, has no voice inside. Complaining to management doesn't do anybody any favors, so they don't do that. So that's kind of the idea is that I'd like to present that be considered is some sort of resident council that's along with public oversight so that the shelter operators can actually respectfully keep their feet to the fire to make sure that they're doing what the cities and county have contracted them to do.
So I have two questions. One, and maybe you can answer this, Michael. Are homeless a protected class?
Not in this state
not
yet.
Not in this state. Okay. Is that a movement afoot? Is that people trying?
I hope.
So in terms of oversight, a homeless shelter has to be licensed by either the city they're in or the county. Is that correct?
Well, as I understand, there are no licensings required to open up a homeless shelter. It just has to be somebody who has the means to open up a shelter.
So the answer to the question that you're raising is, you know, who's in charge? Is it a private entity, a public entity? Is there a licensing board? And that would then answer the question, of course, of where the oversight lies.
Right.
It's a private business and privately owned. You know, I don't know that there's much that can be done, but certainly if there's like a governmental system involved, it would make a lot of sense what you're saying. So those are very interesting questions you're raising. Thank you.
Okay. So for example, Anaheim, who contracts many of the shelters, they don't have any follow-up. They don't do any oversight. The city itself, even though they do contract to house people, we're not talking about putting cans of soup on a shelf. We're housing people. And again, there's no oversight. So they kind of don't even care what's happening within that building or that venue.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
What if there were a model that would be what you're looking for, what is the facility that we could look to just for an example of what you're talking about? And I understand about it depends on who owns the facility as
right,
well.
Right. Well, you probably don't have to go too far. You can go across the street to the courtyard. But the ones that are touted as being iconic role models for the nation, Bridges, for example, I can't even begin because we don't have the time to explain how many horrific stories we get on a daily basis, on a regular basis, from the residents that are within and or those who are exited from that facility. So that being said, Mercy House is the one who manages and operates that facility. They've been given X amount of millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars to do that job. So that is really what the question is. Are they doing that job as prescribed, as contracted? Thank you.
Any further?
Nope.
Great.
All right. Item number three, OC Human Relations Council No Hate Toolkit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
My name is Seema Shah. I am on staff at OC Human Relations as the training specialist. This is my 19th year on staff. Just a little bit of background. I am a product of the OC Human Relations Bridges program. So I was in high school when I encountered OC Human Relations for the first time. It lit a fire, and I chose it as my career path and have happily done this work now with my colleagues for the last 19 years. So just a little bit of background on myself. I'm here today because Norma asked me to share a little bit about something that we are doing Really exciting for us. We received a grant last year from the California Governor's Office on Emergency Services to do some work countering or helping creating safer communities. And we had a campaign in 2015 called No Hate, and it was about educating folks on hate crimes and the impact it has, trying to get people to use social media to stand up against it. With this grant, we were able to expand it to include a toolkit that we could share with educators and youth service providers on how they can start the conversation on campuses, because what we're now hearing, or it's not surprising, is a lot of hate activity is starting in schools. It is young people are being targeted through social media, through gaming, through a lot of different networks, into joining groups that are affinity groups. And we, through our work in Bridges for so many years, prevention is probably our number one weapon to fight hate. And so we wanted to give folks who don't have our programs or access to organizations that do this type of work to take on that task themselves. So we developed a toolkit, and the toolkit is a short 30-page manual that allows folks to start to dive into this conversation. An educator, a youth service provider could take this toolkit, go through one of our little trainings that we'll have, and it's fairly basic. There's a, the campaign tagline is know it, understand it, change it. That is how the toolkit is framed. The first section is shares information about hate, understanding definitions of hate, the data, looking at the national trends in hate, and then to have some definition of terms so they can have a better understanding, start to generate some conversation among young people. Like, this is what's happening. This is what hate is. What's been your experience? Have you seen it? You know, so on and so forth. The understand it part is about engaging young people in conversations together about not just hate, but who they are. Because one of the things we realize is that it's easy to other people when you don't know them. But the minute you start to know them and hear their story, it's a little bit less, it's a little bit more difficult to hate them or to put them in that, well, these people are like this, when you start to know folks. So we're hoping that teachers and other adults on campuses and in facilities that serve youth can start these conversations as a facilitator, not so much as the leader or the teacher, but to pose questions, activities. So understand it section has several of our most popular activities that we've used in our Bridges programs that can be led by either a student or by a teacher to start engaging conversation about learning about each other and just having some safe, robust conversations about who we are and creating some understanding. And then the change it section really gets to the bottom of what we're trying to do, which is to get young people to act into creating school-wide culture that promotes inclusion, connection through school-wide campaigns, activities. So we have a list of things that our Bridges schools have done over the last 30 years, ideas, and then we have a call to action. On April 30th of 2020, we are gonna be hosting our first annual Day of No Hate, and we are going to ask schools across the state to join us on that day to do school-wide activities that denounce hate, that promote community, that promote inclusion, whatever they see fit for their particular community, and to light up social media saying, hey, we in Sacramento are doing it, we in Orange County are doing it, we in LA are doing it. So the first launch of this toolkit will be here in our own backyard, because this is where it was developed. On January 9th, we'll be doing a training here for folks who are interested in learning about the toolkit, getting a hard copy of it, as well as learning about how to do proper hate crime intake. If you see a hate crime or an incident, we wanna increase reporting. And the hope is that that way we know what's happening and where it's happening, and that way we can then develop materials to serve those areas that need it. If we don't know what's happening, it's hard for us to actually try to combat it. So that's the hope, is that the folks who come to these trainings will then also be equipped to recognize it and then to respond, not as service providers, but at least as folks who can take down the information and then find the proper folks to take to. This grant is a statewide expansion of this toolkit, so it's not just Orange County. We've been asked to go across the state. So we will be starting in Orange County and then going 5 to 8 regional areas across the state. So I wanted to share the upcoming training with you, see if there's folks that you want to have attend, send them my way. We still have a few spots available. We'll probably do a subsequent Orange County training. But if you have contacts in other parts of the state that would also be interested in hosting a no-cost training, have them connect with me, and that would be it'll be me. So they get to see my funny face.
Can I?
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Can I just have you, because I don't think everybody here is familiar with Bridges is.
Yeah.
So I know it's a Human Relations Council program. Just can you add a little bit of what that is?
Sure. So the Bridges program was a program that started in 1989 in response to a blackface incident that happened in Orange County. So there was a school that called the commission and said, hey, we had some blackface stuff happen. The commission went out and responded to this school by offering support, doing some dialogues and listening sessions. When the nonprofit was formed, it was very evident that this was not just a need of this one school, but that these incidents were kind of happening and that we needed to do some structured programming. So the Bridges program is about our staff partners with schools across the county in developing a school climate program on campus that engages young people in creating campuses that are safe, inclusive, and equitable. So youth-driven, but staff-supported through the OC Relations Council. And that's where I came from. That's what I got encountered. Yes.
What time of day is the training?
So it's 9 to 4. It's a whole day. And it's on a Thursday. But because I recognize that educators and folks have different schedules, it may not be available. That's why if there is an entity that would like us to do one just for their particular group across the state, I can select a date that fits them.
Well, the January 9th, 2020 is our meeting also as here. So.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dear.
So to dovetail on that, do you think, Seema, well, first of all, well done. I mean, this is such important work. Do you think it would be possible, and maybe you can work with Norma, to create a 2 or 3 hour presentation for the commission who's charged with dealing with hate crime and hate incidents? And maybe we could, and I'm just proposing this for the chair and vice chair to decide, maybe over a 3 month period, the second hour of our commission meeting be dedicated to a training, maybe not an 8 hour training, but yeah, a 2 or 3 hour training, mm-hmm, in which we would be really knowledgeable as the people sort of on the county level dealing with these issues to understand what our partner at the council is doing, and more importantly, what to do a deep dive into hate and what it means to really know hate. I would like to propose that for an agenda discussion, or I don't know how we make that happen, but I think that would be really worthwhile. Those are my two cents, but I don't know if other people feel the same.
Yeah, that's so funny that you mentioned that. I was thinking the same thing, if it would be possible maybe to have an abbreviated program, not an 8 hour program, but if there could be an abbreviated program that's 3 hours that could maybe, and break it in over 3 months. So, you know, there's 1 hour after the February meeting, 1 hour after the March meeting, 1 hour after the April meeting, so that commissioners understand your work better.
Yeah, so this particular toolkit is obviously geared towards youth service providers and educators. So I want to be very clear about that the materials in there are for youth to then take and then do something. But I can think, Norma and I can discuss ways for me to see how we can bring some of that, the materials here, and share that with you. Yeah. And also share our work. I think we can do that.
Two questions.
Sure.
One is this something you could send us online or send to Norma?
Yes.
This advertisement's wonderful.
Thank you.
And have you ever thought of an online version that could be?
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
So the grant is meant to develop the toolkit, to deliver the trainings, and then to offer ongoing support, limited ongoing support for the statewide expansion of it. So the toolkit will be available online, but we are encouraging folks to go through the training first and to do a few of those before we launch it online, because I don't want just a random person to pick it up and then think they can fly with it. Mm-hmm. So we are being very clear that here's a toolkit, no cost. Please go to the training so you know how to use it and be properly trained in that.
I also have a question. Is there one that's being developed outside the educational context, for instance, the workplace?
I think we're looking at grant money that would be available for us to do that. So they still have to pay my salary. Well, it's only part-time.
And just brainstorming, as long as we're brainstorming. I mean, if there were an online version, and as we're doing the bylaws, that before a commissioner sat on the dais would have to be certified on a two-hour kind of thing so that you at least know the nomenclature and things of that nature so that you could understand it. I know that's probably another grant somewhere down the road, but it's worth really thinking about as we onboard new commissioners and say, what is the work of the commission? This is an important educational piece.
I certainly support the idea that you've presented here, but the hands-on training, I think, is what's very valuable. Just having it online is not going to help as much as people actually getting the training.
And so that's why we wrote the toolkit the way the grant the way we did. We said it's great to have a toolkit, but to have support, to have those conversations before you go out and but we also said as a council to offer some additional support to folks who go through the training. Mm-hmm. So as they're launching it, they don't feel all alone. Right. And especially if they're in communities where maybe this is not so supported, to have some allies with them to do this work.
I have a question, if I may.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Seema, for sharing. This is very important work, and I appreciate that. So this is targeted, obviously, to educators, instructors, and all that, but also to youth, you said, teenagers, mm-hmm. high school?
Yeah, so the goal is that the educators can then take it to the young people. My vision is that this would also, we would also create a subsequent toolkit for just youth, so that they could pick it up anywhere and also run with it.
Okay, so for this particular one, the youth leaders, campus presidents, are they to be included or not?
So I think it's written in a way that is obvious that it's geared towards educators, but I am not limiting it to anybody. So if anybody who is interested in wanting to come, including our youth, I am encouraging them, but I am thinking ahead and thinking of ways to do this that is specifically just written for the youth. This is so if they go to a school, a teacher can say, let's start this conversation, and then hand it over to the students. So the action plan, the activities at the end are youth-driven, but adult-supported. But if there are youth leaders, we have some remarkable young people in our programs, and I would never exclude them from this because I think they could also do it. So just the caveat that it's not written, the language in there is, definitely geared towards the educators.
Okay, no, thanks for sharing that. The reason I bring that up is the next item, which I'm going to be addressing with Norma's help, is we are having 2 days prior to this forum series, which the commission is putting together with OCDE and addressing the youth and hate and biases and things of that nature. So, it kind of dovetails into that.
Yeah.
And it's very appropriate. So perhaps, obviously Norma knows about it. She must have.
I know that for the ad hoc, and you're going to be given the update, but OC Human Relations Council has been invited to host a table with some other organizations to have resources for the parents and the families that come to our forum. So they walk out with information that they can take back. So they've been invited. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great. Any other questions? Thank you, Ms. Shaw.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 4 is contract ad hoc update.
Okay. So we have had a meeting among myself and Rabbi Rick was in the meeting, and so was Ms. Ramirez. And the meeting was in person for 2 of the 3. One of us somehow or another thought it was supposed to be a phone-in, so I called in to Norma, and Norma said, "Are you going to be here?" And I said, "What do you mean? I thought it was a conference call." But anyway, we have a follow-up meeting scheduled for January 9th, 2020, which will be immediately following the commission meeting that we have that day. That's the update on that.
Okay. Item number 5, then, is Human Relations Forum ad hoc update.
Fareed?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we had a meeting. I think that date was, when was that, Norma? I'm forgetting. It was a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks maybe. Stacy, Amy, Norma, myself, Chief Mike Hamill was not able to make it. So we had a good meeting. It was to kind of put the program together in terms of the forum series that we are talking about with OCDE. And there, you may have already seen the information that was sent out, a flyer that was put together. And that's going to happen on January 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. And it'll be parents and students coming together in the community to talk about the resources available, to have a discussion around issues that that we see even as of yesterday, what happened at the Rancho Santa Margarita Catholic Church, things, the postings of hate. So in that, we are going to be having speakers. The students are going to go up on this wall and do things which to express their thoughts and how they express issues and victimization if they have gone through that or whatever that may be. So that's what we have coming up. And they're going to be, as Norma mentioned, we're going to invite other resources to have their tables available, information that they can share. Norma, if I'm leaving anything out, please help me.
Just wanted to clarify, the flyer has not been sent out yet. I just heard that it was approved. So I wanted for you to give an update and then have a share a little bit myself, and then after this meeting, I'll be sending those out. So the January 7th is the parent-student forum, and the planning committee has come up with an amazing program that is very interactive because parents and students are participating, and they wanted to take the opportunity to collect some of the stories that will be in that room to bring to the second forum, which is going to be January 22nd. And that one specifically will be with teachers, counselors, and OCDE administrators. So we're going to be bringing whatever we collect from day one to the second forum, so the people who are leading are able to hear the stories that were shared in the first one. So they've prepared a great program. I'm really, really excited about it. And OCDE has been an amazing partner here. I want to thank Amy for connecting us and making that happen, because Stacey Doubled Reynolds has been so committed and is bringing so much to the table in order for us to be able to have a successful forum. So thank you for making that happen, Amy.
Thank you, Norma, for clarifying that, and I appreciate the hard work of the committee itself, the planning committee. Thank you.
Thanks. Any questions for Fareed? Thanks.
Item number 6 is anti-hate campaign ad hoc update.
Do you want me to review the whole thing or just from this last month?
Just from the last month.
Yeah. So I wasn't here last month at the commission meeting, but I understand that the anti-hate campaign proposal was presented and received well, I hope. And where we are now is I sent the proposal to Supervisor Doe's office and Steele's office, and they had positive feelings towards it. And so now to sort of work out the logistics, we are trying to set a date between the chair, myself, and the supervisors and their staff to see the feasibility of making this happen. And then there are some procedural issues that we have to decide about, whether it's a grant, whether it's part of the contract, all those kind of things. And so hopefully, probably by the February meeting, we will have an answer, because I'm not sure we're going to get it together before January 9th. But it would be great if we could, but it's not, doesn't seem to be happening. But I believe that having a campaign, or not a campaign, but rather a program in which OC Human Relations Commission is in every high school and junior high over a three-year period, at least one day, can move the needle on some of these issues. And the directive to the chair and myself was from the supervisors, we want to be leaders in anti-hate work from a public standpoint, from a governmental standpoint. We can't let the rise happen and us not respond. And so this proposal is an answer to their challenge that said, let's do something, come up with something and present it to us. And in fact, when I ran into the supervisor over the month before we had our first planning meeting, he's like, where's my proposal? Where's my proposal? Where's my proposal? I'm like, we got to meet first. I think they are supportive and anxious, and from staff, I hear that they are interested in taking it to the next step. So, you know, a $650,000 infuse into the anti-hate work could really be a needle mover. So that's our hope and prayer. Yeah.
Thank you. Any questions for Rick?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.
Item number 7 is Commission Staff Report, Interfaith Leaders Convening, Restorative Justice Dialogues, and School Response Updates.
I think, Norma, you already...
So I think half of these already have happened, except for the for B, the Restorative Justice Dialogues. And I have flyers, but actually I'm going to have to send these out. They're not updated. So in January, everything's happening in January. January 16th and January 17th, there will be an event that's called the State of Race, listening sessions on race in Orange County. And this is going to be, actually, it's a council event. And Rabbi Rink Steinberg was able to connect them to a space to hold the first day event. So what this is the first day is to explore and discover. So there's going to be a listening session around the experiences of people with the topic of race, and everything from exploring core values on diversity, inclusion, and equity. Race the surface to the areas of discernment for addressing race-based turmoil, and then collaborate on creating a space to address race-based issues in Orange County. So it's a two-step process, it looks like. The first day, it's more about listening and collecting information, stories. And then the second day, there's going to be a smaller core group of the first group to really look at action planning. I brought this up because I feel that the commission's presence is necessary at this space because of the work that we do. And my staff will be there. We will be participating. The neat thing about this is that the Human Relations Council was able to acquire funding to bring in 3 national renowned facilitators to California to do this work. So this will be led by Cynthia Prosek, who's the Executive Director of the Restorative Justice Community Action, Dr. Raj. He's an associate professor at the Metropolitan State University, and DG Mon, who's the president of the National Association of Community Mediation. So these are the 3 folks who are flying in to facilitate this process. And I feel that there should be at least 3 commissioners there to participate. So I wanted to bring that up to see if there was a value or interest.
Could you repeat that date again?
So the first day, January 16th. Thank you, Jennifer. January 16th is a full day. It's from 8:30 to 4:30. And in order to participate in day 2, you have to participate in day 1. And the day 2 is January 17th from 9 to 12:30. That's a half day. I will be sending out the flyers, and there is contact information there. But please let me know if you are coming so that way I can confirm the commission's attendance to the event with the coordinator. Okay, thank you.
Any questions for Norma? Thanks.
Item number 8, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
We had a great meeting at the Mission Viejo Mosque.
You jumped the
agenda. I missed something?
This is OC Chief.
Oh, sorry.
He's not here.
That's okay.
Well,
that's
right. I look like the chief.
Yes, you do.
Miniature.
All right, then we'll move to item 9, OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Go ahead.
All right. It's the Orange County Sheriff's Department Interfaith Update. Okay, so we had a great meeting at Mission Viejo Mosque, and these meetings are terrific because the clergy person of that space gives like a 15-minute orientation on whatever the religion is that we're... and we've been to the mosque before, but each time it's a little different. And this imam was so interesting. It was about women in Islam throughout history. And it was just beautifully done. I just thought the presentation was excellent. This is the first time the sheriff did not attend. He had to be. He was called up to Sacramento. But they did a presentation from Okayak, Orange County... Intelligence Assessment Center, which includes the FBI, each police department in the county, the sheriff's department, the DEA, customs, I mean, every organization, and it's really model, and it won Assessment Center of the Year last year because of the great work that it does. And we learned about security, basically, in religious institutions. And then it was also a very interesting conversation with these experts. So, you know, the Sheriff's Department does amazing work. And at the same time, part of the Interfaith Council is to, for lack of a better way to say it, speak truth to power, too. In other words, the sheriff is interested in hearing what the community is feeling vis-a-vis the sheriff's work. And so, you know, particularly when there are controversial things that come up, as have been in the press the last week, the sheriff is interested in respectful and appropriate conversations, but in truthful conversations as well. And I think because this is a commission program, we do well to speak with respect, but honestly, about the issues that are important to us with local law enforcement, and in particular with the sheriff, who's really open to it.
Thank you. Any questions for Rick?
And again, anybody's open to come to any of those meetings. Do we send those to the whole commission,
No.
Norman? Can we?
Please do.
I've asked and requested. I will request again.
But even if Gail just sends you the invite, I think you could send it to the rest of the commission, no?
I will ask.
Okay. That's code for don't say any more, Rick.
I'm sorry, I'm just kind of missing something. Is there a reason why the invitation wouldn't be sent out to all the commissioners?
So it is an interfaith.
Okay.
Collaborative. So it's just that, and it's not led by me, it's led by the sheriff. And I've requested the PR person, Gail, to send it out several times, and I'm not sure if she's missing my email or she's not. And so I want to get more information about that. That's the only reason.
Fair point. Great question. I would just remind her, though, that it's not just the Sheriff's Interfaith Council. It was founded by the commission with Rusty and Sheriff Hutchins. And so if there is, by accident, and this happens, you know, it becomes only a sheriff's program, then we need to sort of reclaim some of that space. And I'm happy to help if you want to CC me in your request.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay.
Next is announcements from commissioners.
Okay, Carrie.
I'm happy to announce that the Goodwill Committee will be meeting in January, and we'll get started on four nominations to look at that we have right now. And I request that all of you send nominations for people that you would like to see rewarded for their goodwill in our county. And we've gone over that many times about what goodwill looks like. We have four excellent nominations right now, but I'd like to see some more. So send them in, please. And I'll get to you about the meeting date, yes.
Norma or Carrie, could you send us the link again to the forms that we fill out for the nominations?
Is there a form?
Yeah.
Sure.
There are forms.
Thank you.
There are forms.
It's on the website? Okay. It's just a good reminder. I mean, if every quarter maybe we send them out, it's a good reminder for all of us who are in the community to remember to fill them out because it's such a great program.
I will send out the link where the forms are on our webpage.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Norma.
There's so much goodwill that goes on every day in our county, and it doesn't get any attention. And I think we need to give it attention because we focus on the things that are not going well, which we need to, but we need to talk about and enhance the visibility of people who are doing worthy things and, you know, wonderful, human-spirited things in our county. That's why we want this program.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie. Any questions for Carrie? Any other announcements? Great. All right. Well, I wish you all a happy holiday, whichever holiday it is you celebrate. And certainly a prosperous and happy new year in 2020. We'll look forward to seeing you on January 9th.
Thank you.